church, including, I guess, my grandmother, didn't she go with it to join for a while over there? I believe I've heard her say in her lifetime that she was a sympathy with the moral community.
Elder J.D. Sexton was one of the leaders in it, bottom line.
Wasn't a rowdy, was he?
Yeah. He was a brother to Mark Sexton's grandfather. That whole family were preachers for the most part. I guess all the boys but one, or were they all preachers?
I believe that they was three of them.
Z and Will and Cal.
J.D.
But did they all go with that church?
No, they didn't all go with them. They all eventually became missionaries before the end of there. Mm-hmm. But I guess they started out, most of them, but some of them started out as Union Baptists, I guess.
Yeah.
J.D. and maybe Cal. Did Cal start out as Union Baptist? Did he start out?
I don't remember when he started out.
But J.D. was pastor of this Antioch church up above here?
Well, he was a leader. I believe he was pastor of some part of that.
For years he was pastor of that Macedonia church in St. Louis Creek. Still keeps the name. It's still Macedonia Baptist Church.
He's buried down at the Pentecost.
I guess, is it a missionary Baptist church now?
Sure.
I guess that perhaps when he may have become missionary when it did, because he...
I guess he is.
I was telling your dad, and I can tell you later afterwards, the stuff I found out about different associations and churches, and I knew he'd be interested. It just gets more incredible all the time. You know, 14 associations. 7 states, 1 association, it was Union Baptist in 1843. In 1962, he changed his name to Eastern Baptist Association because of exact words, in deference to their Confederate soldiers. But the Union Baptists already, as far as the Confederates were concerned, were not appreciated. That was in Georgia. And really interesting. Then I'd never realized, you probably read this, that in Wilkes County, the Confederates called it the old United States during the war, because it was, you know, the whole county was Union.
Yeah, you were strong Union.
But I'd never heard them refer to it as
all throughout the mountains, I guess.
Yeah, all right. But that one county, they said there wasn't any Confederates in it. Yeah, so they called it the old United States, which I was beautiful. I knew you'd appreciate that if you hadn't heard it. I'd like to go back to 1867 again, if I could, and see, you know, last time we started with all that, didn't get very far, and Willie Ham talked about I can't remember the name of the church now, one of the churches close to his house, is it Prather Spring or?
Prather Creek.
Prather Creek, right. That a group of the men, when the Confederate scriptures came around trying to recruit, went up into the hills and hid. And while they were hiding, the scriptures came to the houses and tried to get their wives to tell where they were and took them out and, you know, with handrail fences, made the women put their hands underneath the fences and then jumped on them and broke their fingers. And he also mentioned shootings and pains. Of course, he was naming names of people.
I've heard of stories of that same kind of thing here, but not too well documented. Some of the old timers used to tell. I believe I've heard, on where mom got to, but I believe I've heard her say that her grandmother used to talk about that sort of thing. Her grandmother died in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess she was, she may have been a little girl. I don't know, maybe she was just passing on stories that she had heard her mother.
Probably.
She was passing on stories she had heard her mother tell, I guess.
So I was wondering if you can remember any of the stories, anything like that. Now, I don't care about the names.
Yeah.
Elder Ham's wife got very upset because he was naming names.
I
don't care about the names.
We were talking about this causing the division and the split.
Right.
Well, I think that some of these people had been mistreated they wanted to bring these up and deal with them in the church. They couldn't go along in fellowship the more we're doing these things back in that time, and the other side refused to bring them up, and so that was one of the great causes.
Yeah, because the wording of that 1867 minutes, which you were quoting last time, it kind of hints at it, but doesn't really say it.
Yeah,
and that's why I was wondering, if you could remember specific things that have been passed on.
I've heard stories about the rail fences and things or something. Uh-huh. That brought to mind, I've heard that happened, and that they would, of course, well, that the way the situation was in the South during the war, they would take any livestock or food or anything available sometimes, I guess, because there was a shortage of all that kind of thing. And so I've heard my mother say that her grandmother said that she, I guess her mother told her, it goes back that far, I guess, that they would take their silverware and things like that out and hide it in some well-hidden place, bury it perhaps, and this kind of thing, keep it from being taken, anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've heard old man that used to live just over the hill here, he was a sexton, Dalton Sexton, talk some about that kind of thing that he had heard from his father, and mm-hmm. his father would have been alive during that time, a little boy, I guess. And just things like this, and he used to talk about somebody that was shot from ambush. Was that that was a sexton over in Helton, some of Joe Sexton's people, or some of them used to talk about that he was out in the field finding somebody shot him. Was his name Enoch Sexton, or not? Maybe not Enoch Sexton, but something else. Anyway, I've heard Dalton tell about that, and he said that he talked like for years that in that family, that they voted, that family tried to vote straight Republican, mainly for the reason that they blamed the Democratic Party in the county for causing him to be shot over some of those, those
right.
things, I don't know.
Sure.
And that sort of thing. I assume that was the kind of thing, though, that led to the division in the church.
Yeah.
And I've read somewhere or another that whether or not this is that well documented, I guess it is, that the Union League, the secret organization, the Union mm-hmm. League, that those that joined them were treated pretty bad in the Primitive Baptist churches, because the majority in many of the Primitive churches was not in sympathy
right.
with it. And
right.
So they were treated especially bad, and that is why I've heard or read that was why they put in the amendment, or the, not amendment, put in the statement in the Constitution of the various, did they use the term benevolent institutions, or what of the mm-hmm. day shall be no bar and test for fellowship,
right.
because
right.
they felt they had been persecuted for their membership in the Union League. However,
right.
some people were persecuted for their membership in Oddfellows and Masons and other
yeah,
things
right.
too, the
right.
Sons of Temperance
sure.
and other things.
Sure.
I don't guess it was just
now, were there any, was there a Klan up here at all?
There was a Klan at one time. Never that active. I don't think. But
I was wondering.
I think the Klan got more active in the 1920s. After the Klan was revived in about 1915 down in Georgia.
Right.
I think it got more active during that period than it ever was during
the Civil
War period.
Yeah,
the
Ku Klux
Klan.
But I think there was such a Klan during the Civil War period.
But I can remember back in the 20s, just a little, I was just a boy. They would be a burning crosses at different places and land bundles of whips, and people stories, where they
up here?
Yeah, in this part of the country.
What did you feel? Can you remember? What did it make you feel like when they were doing it?
Well, it kind of made me a little bit scared.
Didn't you say they used to use that to kind of threaten the kids with
I was thinking of the Union Baptist, the name, being known, but boy, the Klan came back in and started doing things, even if it was years later. I think I'd be a little scared or angry.
I can remember about them telling about them, the burning crosses. They would, that'd be a giving them a warning, to burn a cross before someone passed.
Yeah, I had one watch heard out on my lawn when I lived in Arkansas, so I don't know what that's like.
Well, there wasn't any church people, the Union Baptists involved in that.
And I don't think the Klan really had enough. I don't think they may have been pretty strong, but don't think they had enough support at that time. If they tried to do anything too outrageous, they'd have been done away with, wouldn't they? I don't think they would have dared take too big a step against the church or anything.
Yeah, I didn't think they could have been too strong in that early period.
I think the steps they took was mostly a against more or less friendless individuals is what it boils down to. And I know I've heard, I don't know how far back this goes, I've heard one story about, I believe, well, I guess he was related on another side of the family, and didn't even know who the man was. I think I heard my grandmother tell about him, who did many things that the Klan objected to. And he was a pretty tough customer, I think. And maybe had, in his younger days, had killed someone, some kind of fight, some kind of, I think he slept with a loaded pistol under his stomach. I've heard him. Anyway, he, many of the things he did was the Klan was not in sympathy with, and they sent him some kind of warning that they were going to get him to straighten up, and he sent them word back that that was okay, that he was getting along in years now anyway, and just to come on, and he would take several of them with him if they attempted, and they didn't bother him, I don't think, anymore. So I don't think they struck out against even individuals, if they thought the individual was better. Not here. I mean, I don't think they had that kind of support.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I wanted to check, you know, and I didn't know whether they were actually here or not in that earlier period. That's what I was interested in.
I don't remember McCann out any of their threats, but they would put these, burn these crosses, lay a bundle of whiffs at the door for warning, but I think that's about as far as it got.
Well, that's enough, because you never know when they might try something more, you know. That's incredible.
I worked, again, I certainly wouldn't mention names, but this, I knew this this lady, I guess, a couple of years ago, that she's younger than I am, and of course probably didn't know, and I don't know that much about the background of this, but she was talking to some of us, and we were discussing the Klan for some reason or other, and she made a statement that going through some of her grandfather's old things, she found a Klan seal. She put the Klan seal, and she didn't know why in the world her grandfather had this in his possession or had any crosses. Well, I'd heard from local tradition going way back that he was one of the ringleaders of the Klan, which I didn't tell her, which I pretty well knew why he had it.
Would have destroyed her, probably.
Based on what I'd heard about her grandfather, but I didn't tell her that.
Well, that really helped. Just that whole, you know, I was wondering if they were up here, and I hadn't asked anybody specifically. And the information you have in the Piedmont area, you know, the Union League men and the Klan were really at it, you know, constantly battling. And that there was some of this, I know in Allegheny and Wilkes County, a lot of it, I should say. Klans were coming from the outside, you know, into the old United States to take care of them.
According,
but up here, it'd be a lot harder.
According to the stories I've heard, and as I said, not very well documented, in this area during the war, and through the Klan, it was more the Union League was active in some kind, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the Home Guard, or the local militia, or whatever, right, was one of the main groups active. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all over, right. Because the trend in the mountains as a whole, as I'm sure you've all, both of you have read, was that the rural areas, the isolated areas, were Republicans, and the county seats were all Democrats. And I don't think it's changed
since.
And so you had the Home Guard coming out from the county seat, you know, to take care of the country boys and whatnot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I knew that the old people were fucking blaming on the Home Guard. That's where the blame would fall for all this, for most of this.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. Because it's incredible some things they did. And I'd never realized in Wilkes County after the war, of all places, they had Fort Handy, you may have heard of, which was a bunch of Confederates that held up in a group of houses run by some women of the Union. And for about 3 years there, they terrorized this whole area. This was one of the focal points they were after. And they finally had a group of men from just surrounding counties all at the same time converge on them and get rid of them, burn them out.
Talking about the Ku Klux Klan, I remember about having a rally that way one night. Well, that was before that they had a school building. Now they call it the Latin Academy at that time. It was right there near where the gymnasium is, somewhere there.
Was that a private school?
No, I think it was public school at that time, but it started out as the Methodist Academy. I see. And it started out as the Gray Beal, the Gray Beal Chapel or something like that, Academy, way back in the late 1800s. Okay.
But I remember my father attending that rally that night. And they said there was a lot of noise and carrying on. I don't know what they were doing, but I had a first cousin that lived back over the hill here. He had typhoid fever. The reason I remember it so well, and Dad, he said he stopped the fever. He went on, he was good. They got so much excitement they could hear it all the way back up there. Then carrying on down there. They thought his heart had been weak and everything might have caused his death that night. He died that night. That's the reason I remember it so well, I think. And he was dead when Dad come back.
Yeah. Granddad didn't attend because he was planning. Because he was interested in everything like that. Well,
I agree. The best way, the best defense is to know what's going on.
Anything going on like that, he's always interested in going and finding out what was going on. He was always very interested in what was going on in the churches and associations. He never belonged to the church. He didn't believe.
Oh, really? I was going to ask you if he was a preacher.
He was not a member of the church at the time of his death. Never was, but he was very interested. He attended. He was very interested in it. He used to do things like give that laugh to the church, which he got mad, took home over the television trip, a little bit later took back, I guess. But he was interested in everything going on. He had definite opinion.
Sure. Now, in your Sunday school and your Bible school, do you use any Sunday school literature? Did you use the Bible? I know you used it when you used the Bible.
Well, I think we used some cards, things, and then the
literature.
Do they know?
They're just an adult place.
I figured that.
As far as I know, all of their churches just use the Bible. Except with children's classes, they do use literature. I guess most of them, maybe all of them.
I think so.
I didn't realize that. I'm glad I asked that. Do you know if it's a cook or what kind of material it is?
I think it does. I'm really not.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
It's something I can check. We have some of it at the house, but Charlie is from home, but I believe that's David Cook.
Right.
I believe that.
I figured it would be, but I don't want to take that for granted. That is what we're using.
I believe it.
Yeah, okay, fine. Now, your Bible school lasts 1 week, 2 weeks?
1 week.
1 week. Now, in building your addition on the church and bricking it in, do the members voluntarily give money? I'm going to ask a question, but I think I know the answer. Do you tell each member how much to give, or what do you do?
No, it's a voluntary. Whatever amount that they feel like it.
So far, they've been coming through pretty good. I think we'll have to take it too for a while.
Do you have a building committee?
I guess you'd call it building committee. It's just sort of a combination building and finance committee for this project.
Maybe the file is one time.
Yeah, I wish I got a picture from you there before you get bricked in. I'll have to come back over sometime.
I'd like to get a picture of it before it's bricked.
You too. I don't want to, and without taking a picture of the back.
Yeah.
I think it's classic.
I wish I had a picture of it back years ago before.
Yeah, we had some people there, and, well, I myself in a way kind of hate to see it for that reason, just for not knowing the reasons like you talked about, man, real sorry to be against any belief.
Oh, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
But
historically, in a way,
like to see it preserved with more of the reason. But the feeling of the majority was that to preserve it, keep it the way they need to be, but this is the best thing.
Mm-hmm. When was this building built?
I don't remember what year it was built, but it's been built not that I can remember, but I don't know.
It was in the very early 1900s, wasn't it?
I have an idea it was.
Sometime you were born in 1916, is that right? Cal Sexton, who was born about 1892, used to say that he could remember the old log building. He was a little boy, didn't he?
Yeah.
He used to say that.
And I think Mom said she could.
Yeah, she was born in 1892. We were there about the southern left. It must have been between 1900 and 1916. Where it probably spread out over maybe a fairly long period of time, I think.
Well, did the log building burn, or did they just replace it?
No, I think they just replaced it. They stood above where this was going to do something back up in the prison. They just replaced it and worked out volunteer labor, I think, over a period of time as they had time. My great-grandfather, I think, did a lot of work on it. I believe, didn't they say that he brought in some of those joists for the logs they were hewn from with oxen and here
so
over them.
And they've been hewed out for the broad axes, I think.
Oh, sure.
Now, you have a basement in that room?
Yes.
Basement was added just a few years ago.
Yeah, it was when it was originally.
Oh, no, I knew it. I knew it wouldn't be there when it originally built. You know, that would have really been something if it had been. You know,
the way I first remember the church there, you know, all the lights was the kerosene lamp. And they was on the wall all around, and then we had that swinging lamp that the main church had. And some of these, they were kerosene lamps sitting on the book board.
Right.
And then in the later years, there was one member of the church, he got one of these gas lamps at the mount. And it was all out on us, the fly flew and hit the mound, you know. But it did get a good light. They'd have to pump it up each night.
Right.
And they had a wood stove, a long wood stove there, with a pipe out the upper window. When I first remember, it was just one floor in there. I mean, there wasn't any, there wasn't any subfloors. It was just one floor. So. And then later on, they built a flue at this end of the stove. And it run a pipe all the way back from, which the pipe give off a lot of heat.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
And then back a few years ago, we got a furnace running oil, of course, when electricity come into being a whole lot around, changed from the oil lamp to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember what before any of the modern things we have now. And when people would come to meet, most of them would walk. And they'd have lanterns up there. You could see lanterns going in every direction from the church. When the revival meeting was being held in the night, it was like barflies.
Fantastic.
Going in each direction.
Now, you called your meetings revivals, not protracted meetings.
That's right.
Right.
I tell them every once in a while that it can either be a revival or a protracted meeting. Yeah. If the church is not revived, it's just a protracted meeting.
Well, this is the old joke I always heard Elder Ham, you know, helps confirm it. He says, don't let the Puritans tell you they don't hold revivals. He says, yeah, they may not call it by a name like that, but they held protracted meetings all the time back in the olden days. He said, of course they weren't revivals. He said, they're right, they couldn't get revived. Because I didn't even realize it held those. You know, but I wondered where the protracted meeting, the name came from.
We have a member up here, George Harvey, who lives just over by the school grounds. He's a ditching contractor and that kind of thing. And George is native to West Virginia. But he married my aunt the first time, and she died, and he was born and he married and helped come to there. But we were talking just a couple of weeks ago, maybe since the last, I was telling you about you and the thing you were working on. I told him I thought you'd done some research. People, most of the Freeville Baptists in West Virginia. I don't know about your sons and church in West Virginia, that place.
Right.
One thing or another, and he was talking about the Primitive Baptists there at the time. He said, there, that I'm up until the 1930s, or maybe 40s, or somewhere that they, Primitive Baptists, came to hold the Catholic meetings. And he said that even though his family was Freeville Baptist, as long as the Primitive Baptists held the attractive meetings and that kind of thing, they would attend. Again,
sure.
Services. And so that's what we're doing now. They just want to have the opportunity to do things like that because they just have the Sunday services and have their own Sunday services.
Well, I wish you'd ask him if he can remember or ever heard of a Mountain Union Baptist Association up there. There's supposed to be one.
There is supposed to be one.
I read an article in the Southern Exposure about old regular Baptists, and came across one up there, and then a Union Baptist Association in Southeastern Virginia, and that. He may know of one.
And he might.
There was an association.
He grew up near Bagley in that area.
They called the Mountain Zion Association. He corresponded just for years. Joe Woods was the mother.
They were going to make that.
They were mother in West Virginia.
For practical purposes, I believe they called themselves regular Baptists.
Well, the Thornton Union, everything I found out there, and I didn't realize it. I'd been doing research on them up in Western County for I don't know how long before I even heard of, I saw the word union in their title, but didn't think any of it. But they say that's why it's there.
Yeah.
With Lord, I just found that out a week ago. I called this Elder Puget. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was moderator for a long time. And he said, well, why didn't you ask? He said, I figured you knew. He said, all that old regulars up here were pro-union. I didn't mention, I was going to ask him, why they left. Didn't stay down here, but I figured you wouldn't want me to ask that. You may want to do something with them again. Well, I can't think of anything else I need right now. Anything you want to add? Well, the tape's still going.
Not anything that I can think of right now.
Oh, let me ask you this. When you're baptized by immersion, you do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in running water, back to the source.
That's right.
Do you wear any special clothes?
No.
The old regular dress all in white, and whoever's being baptized dresses all in white.
When you say running water, it's kind of time.
Well, I know that.
Well, the reason I mentioned that, I fell in Maryland a couple of years ago, said some of the churches there were considering cutting in Baptists, which they hadn't had, and there was opposition to that. Some people felt that you don't want to be done in running water. And I think he said he brought up the point that after all, food or time constructed the stream wasn't really running water, that it was just about as much of a baptistry as was the church. It was just cruder, that was all, but he couldn't see the difference, he couldn't see why there should be any objection.
Right. But it's funny, over in Watauga County, those that have baptistries, those that don't have, the churches that still emphasize the running water, call the baptistries baptos, and you should see those that have them. Man, wow.
I really think that.
It's terrible.
It seemed to me like it's the more impressive all the time, anytime you can have a baptism in the river. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we've had some, or there have been people that insisted, I guess, being baptized in the river. Have a few times there's been a couple, the church had a couple of baptisms down in Mount Zion County.
I know we're at the St. Street Baptist Church in Virginia. We always baptize in the whole river.
I don't know why, but you're right. For me, anyway, it's much more impressive than you. And I have all kinds of very strange and good feelings from that. A number of churches, and I'm aware if any Union Baptists have this, I know you don't have a Baptist in the church, but a number of them will build these cement steps going down into where you open gates and the water flow in from the creek or the river. I wouldn't imagine any, but I just wonder.
That may have been the type of thing that they were talking about, Smith Roberts.